This is Sempaternal and Set Apart, and my name is Damon Poole. One of the greatest blessings of Christianity is that God divinely inspired people throughout history to write down His Word. In this podcast, we will be discussing God's Word and how it is applied to our lives. It is my prayer that as we dive into Scripture, we would begin to grow in our relationship with Christ. Thank you for tuning in to Sempaternal and Set Apart, exploring the everlasting Scripture.
How could you even say that Marvel is going to end because Stan Lee is gone?
Because who's going to write Marvel now? Dude, it's already
written. It's been written by other people for a long time.
There's just nobody to cameo now. people want Deadpool to cameo.
No.
Well, I mean, it could work. Yeah. Just have him in random, I don't know.
I feel like the next Avenger movie is the last one.
It has to be. I don't see how they could bring everybody back.
Yeah. They're gonna reboot the series pretty soon, actually. Yeah. Although not before X-Men. They have an X-Men coming up.
A new X-Men.
X-Men have so many movies for him.
They teased X-Men in the Deadpool movie. Mm-hmm. He's complaining about how there's no other X-Men in the mansion because of the budget issues, and he's walking in through the door. You can see every new X-Men cast member, and they close the door.
Interesting.
Is it going to be Logan, though?
No, it's going to be a new guy.
Well, as interesting as the Marvel Cinematic Universe is, I think that we should get to our podcast.
Yeah.
I want to thank everybody for joining us as we're getting ready for this new podcast. We're actually hoping to do a series of three podcasts that deal with biblical leadership. And with me, I have John Williams. He is part of our worship team here at Mount Olive Baptist Church, and it's great to have you with us. How are you doing, John?
Doing good.
Awesome. And I have Dan Chantarat. He is a youth leader here at my church. He is also a ministry student at the Baptist College of Florida. It's great to have you here, Dan.
Yep, I'm glad to be here.
Awesome. I remember it like it was just yesterday that I was doing my first podcast. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you, I have moved up in the world, guys.
Oh, that's good news. Let me
tell you about it. So my first podcast was done in one of the closets in my house, underneath three quilts, and I was recording it on my iPad with my Xbox headset. And for me to try to get the cleanest the cleanest sound in this podcast, I took a pair of mittens that you get during Christmas time, the really cheap ones you get at Walmart. Mm-hmm. I cut the fingers off of them, layered them up onto the microphone of my Xbox headset. So I looked like this really weird dude sitting in my closet underneath three quilts, just talking to myself. Because if anybody were to walk into my house, they would think that I was absolutely insane.
Well, first of all, they're not going to be able to find you since you was in the smallest room of the house, and it's in the closet.
Yeah, you're probably right. I was pretty soundproofed. I'm pretty sure that I could have screamed, and nobody could have heard me. But I've moved up in the world a little bit. Now we are sitting in the youth room at our church, and I have a new microphone. So I think that this is going to be a little bit better. They're going to be a little bit better from now on.
Proud.
So I'm glad that y'all are here. I look forward to going through this series with y'all and possibly even further. So this is great. I kind of want to get your initial thoughts as we start this. What are your initial thoughts on leadership just in general?
Well, I think that it's very important in the Christian life to be a leader. That's kind of part of being that's kind of a part of a male role, I guess. As I've kind of learned and grew up in my faith over the past few years, I've sort of taken up different leadership roles in different situations, but I guess overall, I feel like every Christian is in some way a leader, but it kind of depends on how God calls you to fulfill that leadership and how much leadership, you're given.
Oh, I agree. One of the most important things that I think Christians need to do and can do is figure out what their spiritual gifts are. Mm-hmm. And whenever we get into the realm of our spiritual gifts and we really begin to understand what those are, God is going to put us into some positions of leadership where we are able to use those spiritual gifts. And so I think that you're absolutely right whenever you say that just as Christians, we are responsible for taking up leadership. We're starting some new men's ministry things here at the church. And one of the very first things that we're going to be talking about is specifically leadership and leadership in the leadership in the role of a man's life. How does a Christian man, how is he supposed to conduct his life as a spiritual leader? You know, what is he supposed to do? What does the Bible say that he's supposed to do? And so I think you're right. Whenever we look at the Christian life, we are in a sense, I mean, in every single one of us, in a way, a leader. That is who we are called to be.
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree with you. Whenever I talk about leadership, is everybody that who have answered the call, everybody that who give his their life to Jesus Christ is called to be a leader. I mean, everybody is in ministry. Everybody is called to be a leader. And one thing that I want to point out is, like, when I think about a good leader is when someone who actually be there and do the stuff with them, like lead by example, not by telling them what to do. And like Damon said, this men ministry that's coming up, we want to learn about what our role as in the church, as a man in the church, how we can lead the church to a better, for the glory of God.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Nice. And every single one of us, again, have this responsibility of leadership. And Dan, I think you brought up a really good point that many times we forget, you know, leadership is not just sitting behind a desk and just barking out orders at whoever comes into the office or simply in my role standing behind the pulpit and preaching. That is not all that leadership is, but leadership, the most important leadership, in my opinion, is the hands-on, getting in there, getting dirty, and showing your people this is how you are to be a leader. This is how you are supposed to resemble Christ and be more Christ-like and go through the process of sanctification. You got to get in there. You got to get dirty, and don't take any showers, because if you take showers, then you're not going to be stinky, full of leadership stank, you know, whatever. So you just got to get in there. You got to get in there. One of the greatest passages of scripture that we see on leadership is written by Luke in the book of Acts, and we find it in chapter 20. And as always, whenever we come together on this podcast, I just put so much value on actually reading the Word of God. We have like a ton of verses to read today, but we're going to read them anyway. You know, it doesn't matter how long it doesn't matter how long it's going to take. We're going to read them. So as always, if you have a Bible around you, pause this podcast right now. Grab your Bible and just follow along with us. We're going to be in Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 35. Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 35. And it says this: "Now from Malteus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And then when they came to him, he said to them, 'You know from the first day I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility, with tears, and with the trials that came to me through the plots of the Jews, and that I did not shrink back from proclaiming to you anything that was profitable or from teaching it to you in public and from house to house. I testified to both Jews and Greeks about repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus. And now I am on my way to Jerusalem, bound in my spirit, not knowing what I will encounter there, except that in town after town, the Holy Spirit testifies to me that chains and afflictions are waiting for me. But I count myself of no value to myself, my life of no value to myself, so that I may finish the course and the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of God's grace. And now I know that none of you will ever see my face again, everyone I went about preaching to preaching the kingdom to. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of everyone's blood, for I did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole plan of God. Be on guard for yourselves and for the flock that the Holy Spirit has appointed you to as overseer, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and men will rise up from you, from your own numbers, with deviant doctrines to lure the disciples into following them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for 3 years I did not stop warning each one of you with tears. And now I commit you to God and to the message of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands have provided for my needs and for those who are with me. In every way, I've shown you that you, by laboring like this, it is necessary to help the weak and to keep in mind the words of the Lord Jesus. For he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Whenever we read this passage of Scripture and we really look at it, Luke gives us 9 principles of leadership, of biblical leadership in this passage of Scripture. And over the next few weeks, you know, I want us to really dive into these and talk about them. So we're gonna talk about 3 of them tonight, 3 of them next podcast, and 3 of them podcast after that. So we're just going to dive right in. The very first principle that I see in this passage of Scripture is that we have to live as an example. Why do y'all think it's so important that we live as an example in biblical leadership?
Well, okay, so for me, I've been in several environments where what we do really determines a lot. I guess the saying, like, actions speak louder than words, I think that really applies in the Christian life a lot more than we think. So I worked at a ministry camp called Crossroads, and one of the first things they told us was that like pretty much everything like we do is like connected with them, like we are representatives of them in everything we do. Even like, and this was even like in the emails that they sent us before we even got to the camp. So like everything we post online and everything we say, like from then on, before and after working at the camp, reflected their ministry. So, you know, so we're a part of that. So it's a great importance because, like, the same thing with the Christian life, everything I say and do at work or college or anywhere like that really reflects my faith. Because at some point in my conversation, I want to, like, instill everybody with, like, that kind of taste of Jesus. And so anything I say before or after could, you know, either build up or stain that image. Absolutely. So that's a big, you know, living it as an example is a big deal. It's a big deal that we all need to think about.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is, because now, earlier today, Damon and I was talking about this, how the way I act around church, since I live with him now, if you don't know that. The way I act around the church, the way people look at me is actually affecting them, and also it's affecting Damon, because people look at me as a young 18-year-old who just graduated high school and then going to ministry. I need to live as an example. Like, since I live with my pastor, I have to live up to that fact that I live with him. I don't want to stain his name or anything. And another thing is, by live your life the way you live really does affect people around you, even though you don't really notice yourself, because if you do this, the people want to do it too. Just like nowadays, many Christians do stuff that they shouldn't be doing, and other people will be looking at them and say that, wow, they just did something that is a go against the Bible, and why should I become a Christian if they're doing it too? So
To sort of tag off what Dan was saying, I mean, like, the true way that we show people the Christian life, I mean, the Christian life is completely contrary to the world, the life that, you know, the worldly life that someone would live. So if in a case where, I don't know, we're just like, we're not living differently, we're not like living a changed life, you know, if we're not really showing the change within us, then they're not going to notice. They're going to see the world. They're not going to see the creator of the world. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Many people like feel comfort on what they at. They just go with the flow of everyday society. They don't want to stand out to be different, share the gospel. They don't want to be that one person. They're just comfortable in their chair. They don't want to get up and go out there and evangelize to many people that actually need the Savior.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Luke is talking here, and he's pretty much telling us that Paul practiced what he preached. Mm-hmm. You know, he could, because Paul was so in tune with who he was and what he was telling them, he had the authority to be able to tell the Ephesians, the Ephesian elders, to remember how he lived. Mm-hmm. You know, he was able to talk to them and say, you saw the way that I conducted myself whenever I was with you. And you saw the way that I conducted ministry, and I loved others, and I was a shepherd to others. And all of this is not because of him, and he's not taking any of the glory for himself. He says that this is all because of God. Mm-hmm. It is so amazing to me that whenever he's talking, he can say with so much authority that you saw the way that I was living. Use my example as what you should do.
Yeah.
It just, as leaders, you know, I really think that we ought to live our lives to reflect the glorious gospel that we proclaim. You know, we know that if you have read through Paul's letters and you have read through the book of Acts, you know the magnificent transformation that Paul went through on the road to Damascus. Mm-hmm. And you can tell that from that point on, the gospel and what Jesus did for him and saving his soul made such an impact on him that he, as a leader, had no other desire in his life other than to live an example of what Christ had done in his life.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, I think that's one of the reasons that Paul makes this the very first thing that he talks about. You know, I have had the gospel shared with me. I have received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And as receiving Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I have been commissioned to be a leader. And my example is of utmost importance. My testimony is of utmost importance. Mm. Because where people, and I always try to tell people this, where people, some people may never step foot in the doors of a church, mm-hmm. people are going to see you. They are going to see the testimony that you live. They are going to see the gospel through you. Hopefully, if you're really, really, really awesome, awesome Christian, you're actually going to open your mouth and share the gospel with somebody.
Amen.
But at least people should see the gospel through the way that you conduct your life. And right. So, you know, Paul, he puts so much emphasis on this. And this is the very first thing that he talks about, or Luke writes down about Paul. Whenever it comes to biblical leadership, that we have to live an example. Because it doesn't matter if we do all these other things. It doesn't matter if we love other people in church. It doesn't matter if we serve in church. It doesn't matter if we do all these things in church. But if we leave the walls of the church and we don't conduct ourselves and live an example of what God has called us to be on a daily basis everywhere we go, then the rest of the stuff, then the rest of these other eight principles, they don't matter.
Yeah.
Because if we are not living in every aspect of our life like Paul is,
yeah,
nobody's going to see anything else.
Exactly. Absolutely. Right, yeah. And I think like an important thing to remember, I think that this scripture is from 1 Corinthians. I'm not sure. I feel bad. But I think it, okay, so Paul said basically, I think it was, imitate me as I imitate Christ.
Right.
So I think it's really important. Like whenever, like personally, whenever I look at a biblical figure, I got to remember, okay, this guy's a man, you know, like what can I learn about him? I get pretty analytical about these people, but truly, yeah, like we're the only reason we're like listening to Paul is because he's really focused on Christ.
Right.
So, and yeah, so like everything, I just like, you can take his word as gospel. And yeah, like at pretty much everything, like you were saying, like everything about the Christian life can't be lived out solely in a church building. Because, I mean, we are the church, and the church doesn't just become the church at a church. Right. It doesn't become a church at a building. Like, you're still a part of the body of Christ, especially, I'd say, like, you need to put it more and put more emphasis on how you are outside.
Of course. I mean, because here's the thing. Whenever I was at Bible college, it was very easy for me to kind of sink into a rut or get into this spiritual bubble because everyone that was around me was a believer. And it was easy to be a Christian there. Just like it's easy to be a Christian when we're at church.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's easy to be a Christian when you're in Sunday school or you're in the worship service and raise your hands and do all that. If you're really charismatic, you shout, you clap, okay?
And
I love charismatics, so don't get me wrong if you're listening to this podcast. You know, it's easy to get into this spiritual bubble and say, okay, well, listen, I'm a Christian here. But are we able to be that Christian outside of the church? Are we able to be that Christian in all situations? And with Paul, just like Paul, I mean, are we able to say with authority, or can we say about our life, be imitators of me as I am of Christ?
Oh, yeah. That's a good, yeah, it's very convicting.
That is very convicting.
Very convicting.
That's very convicting.
That really is. Ooh. I guess you can say that church is not the place, church is the people.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We go down, and as we continue to read this passage of Scripture, we see this second principle, and we lead by serving. Luke talks about is talking about Paul's life, and he says we lead by serving. Paul said that he served the Lord with all humility and with tears, and we see that in verse 19. His life was characterized by laying down his life in such a way that he understood that he was not here to be served, but he was here to serve.
Right.
He really took on the characteristic of Jesus whenever Jesus says that, I'm not here to be served, I'm here to serve.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, and so the second principle is to lead by serving. And I think that that is something that is really difficult for a lot of Christians, because if you look at statistics, and I've heard so many pastors say this, 20% of the people in the average church do 80% of the work. And that's absolutely ridiculous, because the Bible does not say that 20% of the people need to do 80% of the work. The Bible says that we as God's people, 100% of God's people need to do 100% of the work. And so, you know, we are here to serve.
Mm-hmm.
We are here to serve others, you know.
That's
we are here to love others. We are here to hug on each other. And if you're really close, give them a smooch on the cheek, you know. but we're here to serve.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. We, like, all of us that have given our life to Jesus Christ, we are called to serve him and the people around us. Just like in the Great Commandment, it said that you should love other people as you love yourself. I mean, how can you love other people as you love yourself, if you're going to talk down to them, you're going to talk behind them, you're going to go out and just point them out, put them on a...
Yeah, absolutely. And like, even at the very, end of times kind of thing. So we have, you know, Jesus talking to the different groups of people who either did or didn't serve him. And, he says, like, I'm paraphrasing, or, you know, but for whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. So by serving and loving other people, we are serving him. So you're fulfilling both commandments when you're loving your brother and loving the Father by serving each
absolutely
other.
Absolutely. And I was in something called Royal Rangers whenever I was growing up, and I was raised in the Assembly of God Church.
Ooh.
And so we had something called Royal Rangers on Wednesday nights, and it's kind of like the church version of the Boy Scouts. Like, we had vests and everything, and we got badges.
Awesome.
It was a lot of fun. We got to go camping. I learned how to throw a tomahawk.
Oh,
and
that's,
I was
totally
I
you
was actually really proficient in it, so it was cool.
Oh,
and whenever we walked into the classroom and before we left the classroom, we always had to state the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do to you.
Okay.
You
I know? Was gonna ask and, if you had a 4-H kind
yeah.
of thing.
So, you know, it's just the Christian life and service cannot be separate.
Amen. Yeah.
It cannot. And yet we see so many people who want to be biblical leaders, who claim to be biblical leaders, yet they just sit there.
Mm.
and they don't serve, and they don't love others, and they don't hug each other. They don't take a can of food or a gift basket to somebody who's in need. Mm-hmm. You know, because if we're going to be honest, it might not be a verbal thing that people say, but there are a lot of people out there that think that they are just better than everyone else. Mm. You know, and they're not willing to get down and dirty and be that example, and be that servant that God has called us to be.
Yeah.
They're just not willing. And so as leaders, we must become servants.
Mm-hmm.
And we see just the magnitude of that in the life of Jesus.
Mm.
Because Jesus is King of the universe. He is Messiah. He is Lord and Savior. And yet he says that I am here as a servant. I am here to serve, not to be served. That should, in my opinion, be the utmost example in our life of how we are to of how we are to say, even though we might be in some sort of position, like me as a pastor, I get to stand up here and talk to a whole bunch of people all the time, and I love it, but I have to understand that my ultimate role, even though I'm standing up here and people are looking at me, and I'm going to be honest with you, that makes me nervous sometimes, especially when they start to sleep. I have to understand that my ultimate role is to serve every single person that is in this place.
That's right.
And to just love them.
Right.
Just love them.
So I at my job, actually, it's very, very applicable in this situation. So I work at Publix, and the idea when you're climbing the corporate ladder, at least as far as like store management goes, is if you go from simple stock boy to manager of grocery department, that grocery manager should be the hardest worker in your department. He basically graduated because he's the hardest worker. So, you know, like the idea is there's never a moment where you're like looking at your leader as a boss, if you get what I mean. You see him or her as a leader by the way he or she leads and by the amount of like work. So yeah, that's very important. As far as like being a leader, you really need to, that comes back to living as an example. You really need to, like, you know, show your effort and do that part that you're called to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we go down and we see this third principle. It's to lead by persevering.
Mm.
And this is a hard one, if I'm going to be honest. To persevere through just some really difficult times.
Ooh, yeah.
It's hard. I could write a book. I could write a book about how many times I have been in that situation. And not that I have brought myself through it, but that God has brought me through it.
Yeah,
you know, no one has ever said, I've never heard anybody say that leadership was going to be easy.
Oh yeah.
You know, we are living our life as an example, which is in and of itself is hard because we are having to be mindful of everything that we do all the time. We are having to live as a servant, and that is extremely difficult. To live through and to say that, okay, in any place that I find myself, if there is a need, I'm going to be the one that's gonna humble myself and serve. And so to lead by persevering, it is a very difficult thing. And Paul experienced what he says in verses 19 and 23. He experienced conflict without. He experienced conflict in so many situations at so many different times. I mean, just look at the life of Paul and what he went through. He was nearly stoned to death. ran out of towns. You know, but just because he was proclaiming the gospel, he was sentenced to prison.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul went through a lot of stuff that we, especially in American culture, we'll never go through.
Oh, yeah.
At least not right now.
Yeah.
We would never go through. And yet, he persevered through all of it.
I forget who told me this, but I don't remember who told me this, but it was a pastor or something like that. But they said, rarely, living the life of Christ, rarely are you ever going to get stoned or killed.
Right.
But you're going to be inconvenienced.
Absolutely.
That's pretty much it.
Absolutely. You know, I think as a youth pastor, ministering to young people, this is one of the hardest things to teach them is perseverance in their Christian life. Because as young people living in our culture and our society, they are constantly bombarded by things that want to pull them away from their relationship with Christ, that want to pull them away from the leadership that God has given them whenever they accept Him as Lord and Savior. And to teach them that they have to persevere through all of that, it's difficult. But we see in the life of Paul that even though he had conflict without, he also had conflict within. He was talking about people who were going in the church and saying, you know, preaching all this false doctrine, this wrong doctrine. And so not only was he experiencing conflict as he was traveling and being driven out of town, but he was experiencing conflict in the churches that he had served and administered to. And what we see is not that Paul just gave up. He didn't just stop, because that'd be easy. That'd be way too easy. Because you know, he goes on and he talks about in this passage, or Luke writes in this passage, and we'll get to this in one of the other principles, is that Paul made his own living. He didn't have to go around and preach the gospel to earn a living. He made tents, and he could continue to make tents and continue to provide for himself and live a lot easier life, and yet he continued to persevere through all of that. He never gave up. He ministered until the very end. You know, the Bible says that eventually Paul was led to Rome, where he was killed, and all this other stuff. You know, we never once see in God's word, or we never once hear within church tradition, that Paul wavered in his faith, that he gave up, that he denounced God because of the difficult times that he found in himself. And so leadership, you know, we have to understand it's not for the faint-hearted. You know, leadership is living an example. Leadership is serving. Leadership is persevering. Leadership is not for the faint-hearted.
That's right.
Yeah. So I think the best way for us to close this podcast is, how would y'all give somebody encouragement? If somebody who is listening to this podcast right now might be a young person, might be a pastor or a Sunday school teacher, or might be somebody who doesn't even have a relationship with Christ. What kind of encouragement would you give them whenever it comes to being a leader, especially in our biblical context, being a biblical leader?
Okay, well, I guess from my perspective, I've been a Christian for about 4 years now, and I'd say I've been a devoted, very like actively devoted one for maybe two. I could say it's completely worth it. It's changed my life. And as far as encouragement for leadership, you are almost never going to see results right away. But as you go, and as you keep dialing into people, as you keep growing relationships, and as you keep putting in the work of God and praying to God and just asking and relying on His power, you're going to see those results, and you know in your heart that you're serving God.
Amen.
That's right. And what I was thinking is, like, to be a leader, you have to know that there's going to be a hard time. We've got to persevere through it. Not even John the Baptist, when he was in the prison, he was questioning if Jesus would actually be the Messiah. He was having doubt. And I'm sure Paul had something like that in his mind as well, but he didn't give up because he knew what God had called him to do, and you shouldn't really give up. God always going to work things out, and doesn't matter how rough the time is, doesn't matter how dry it is, He's going to work it out for you. Another thing is, hold up, I lost my train of thought.
That's okay. That's okay. Yeah, you know, I would just say, you know, look to those leaders that are around you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for people who are listening to this podcast and find themselves in a hard situation, whether you are the leader or whether you are not the leader, you know, look to those leaders who are around you, especially to those biblical leaders. You know, I know that we three have some great biblical leaders in our lives. We have a wonderful pastor that pastors our church. He is a great biblical leader in our life. No, I'm not talking about myself. Pastor Wally Weaver. There's his plug. There you go. We have some great leaders, and I would just encourage you to find those leaders in your life. Find those leaders in your church. If you don't go to a church, get involved in a church. Find a church. If you have a friend who attends a local church, talk to them. You know, get involved in a life group. Get involved in a home Bible study. There are so many great leaders out there who just want to invest in you, who want to love you, who want to hug you, who want to help you grow in your relationship with Christ and just being a person in general. So my word of encouragement would be just go out and find them. You know, look for them. You know, because I guarantee you that they are looking for you. They are looking for the opportunity to serve you, to be an example for you. And through those difficult times that you're going to walk in, they're there to persevere through you. So just take that advice. Just go for it. Just open up your Bible. Go to a local church and just get involved somewhere. We are absolutely delighted that you listened to the podcast today. John and Dan and myself, we're looking forward to going through these next six principles that are talked about in Acts chapter 20. And I hope that you join us for next time. We're bowing out. So what are y'all doing this weekend?